Welcome to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930, 100.3 FM, WEOL. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. The month of May is designated as National Mental Health Awareness Month, and that's our topic today on North Coast Conversation. The month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I thought we'd bring in some folks in Lorain County who are very involved in the cause, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. They are a national organization, as the title is, but NAMI Lorain County has been around for a while, and we're here with the executive director, Greg Klima, to talk a little bit about things that they have going on and maybe a new way to reach out to people who may have mental illness diagnosis or just issues dealing with what mental illness is. Greg, thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you've been about a year as executive director. What other involvement have you had with NAMI prior to that?
I sat on the board of directors for 7 years, and I was the president of the board of directors for the last 3 years.
Okay.
And when our previous executive director resigned, we did a search, and we were having trouble finding somebody who kind of fit what we wanted. And after a while, it just turned out it was going to be me.
Okay.
I was almost on my way to retiring, and I guess I'm not.
So as executive director and being on the board, you probably obviously had a hand in the different things that were going on. What is it that you've brought, I guess, in this past year or so that you see as a direction that NAMI Lorain County needs to take or to be able to reach people?
Well, I'm a person in long-term recovery from mental illness myself. I do live with bipolar disorder and generalized anxiety disorder and chronic depression. So I know what it's like to live with a mental illness, and I understand personally the challenges. Additionally, I have two children who live with mental illness. So what we do at NAMI, our mission is advocacy, education, and support. So for us at NAMI, a lot of the education we do with classes and the support has in the past been a lot of support groups. So, peer support groups. But one thing that I really wanted to do was to expand that idea of support. So people who are in recovery from substance use disorder, they have a lot of options, as far as support goes. You think about all the different 12-step meetings, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. There's quite a few. And in Lorain County, we're blessed to have quite a few meetings. But there's also other support groups. There's Celebrate Recovery, which is a faith-based group. There's Smart Recovery, which is based on cognitive behavioral therapy. But people go to the meetings, and you learn something from the meeting, and you hear stories. But a lot of people go to the meetings for more than that. They go because, for the fellowship, for the socialization before and after. Because when you go to these support meetings, you find people who aren't on similar journeys. You find people who really understand you. You find your new peer group, your new group of friends. But that doesn't happen on the mental health side. Instead, what happens is there's a lot of concern about protecting people's privacy and confidentiality, and that is important. Not everybody is comfortable talking about their mental health issues. But a lot of recovery is based on being with people, finding a community, having people who understand you, and being able to do everyday things like go to a ball game or watch a movie, go out to dinner with people who get you. We don't have that on the mental health side. We haven't. And so my big idea was to try to create opportunities for people just to get together, to do things, so that they would feel that sense of community, that sense of belonging, that sense of understanding. So we created what we call the community connection events. And what we have every week, we have some type of wellness event. And it's been a lot of yoga, but we've done a Zumba class. We had a sound bath. We've had meditation. Things focused on physical and mental wellness. And then once a month we have a social event. And this month's social event, we're going to the Crushers game, and we bought a bunch of tickets and got one of those packages. And everything is free. Everything NAMI does is without cost. But in this, we'll even provide transportation for people, because the idea is just get people together. And if you see the same faces and you really come to know that they understand you, that people get that sense of community, they have other people they can talk to. So this has been really different for us, also very unique for NAMI's, nationwide, mm-hmm. that we have focused on this creation of community, this creation of peer-to-peer support, outside of the context of a traditional support meeting. Let's go out and do things. Let's have fun together. Let's be together and realize that we're not alone and that we're not broken. We're all okay.
Right.
We're all on our journey. And there's other people out there who get us and will support us and have our backs.
Well, it creates, as you said, socialization, with a lot of times mental illness kind of is a barrier to that, right? Isolation sometimes is a companion to sometimes different types of mental illness, too.
I would say more often than not. Okay. Think about someone who's living with chronic depression. Simply leaving their house can be a huge task to get somebody to, get up, get dressed, leave. People living with severe chronic depression and anxiety tend to isolate. That's part and parcel of the challenge. And to help people get over that is a major obstacle.
So that's sort of one of the different, I guess, ways that you've kind of changed how people think about mental illness or participate in events that you have. One of the things I wanted to get back to, or talked a little bit about, some of the new things you're talking about. One of the things that kind of came to my attention is a new event relating to eating disorders. How does that fall under sort of the mental illness type of category, if it were, or how was it the reason that you thought this is something that you need to kind of help people with?
Well, mental illnesses are defined in a very specific book. It's called the Diagnostical and Statistical Manual. It's huge. It's 4 inches thick. And it has all the criteria for what are mental illnesses. And you have to jump through a lot of hoops and eliminate things to get a formal diagnosis. But eating disorders are considered part of that group of behavioral issues. All of this is driven by brain chemistry. Disease is a misfunctioning of an organ. In mental illness, the organ in question is the brain. So those misfunctions,
okay, right,
manifest in different behaviors. Okay? Like, for bipolar disorder, it's mania, where people's don't have breaks, they accelerate. But it also can manifest as depression, where you don't speak or don't want to interact. And some of it is our relationship to food and how we think about food and what we expect from food. And so it fits squarely within that. It is in the DSM. It is like just like every other mental illness. It's just that's the behavior that manifests.
Okay. So that's obviously how you're able then to help people with this. And you started a peer support group where it's kind of on a Zoom thing, which is another way of having support meetings, right? They don't have to be physically go to a location and sit in a classroom setting or a setting, sitting there with people. You're in more your own environment, but yeah, you're interacting with the people. So this is another step in reaching out and broadening how people are connecting them.
Well, post-pandemic, it has been difficult to get people to leave their houses and come to events. We're still struggling to get people out. And the younger generation, they like being online. They just do. They do everything online. So in order to reach the most amount of people, the eating disorder thing, too, comes with a lot of stigma. And people don't understand what the whole range of eating disorders. Asking somebody to come physically to an eating disorder meeting there's a lot of obstacles there. People, a lot of hesitancy to publicly go out and say, I'm going to walk into this room. Whereas you do it online, there's a lot of privacy. So it does check a lot of boxes. You know, people, it makes it easier for people. They don't have to drive. Also, is the younger folks like it? And then it also then protects a lot of privacy.
Right.
So it is a new, NAMI National, in fact, has realized that, you know, traditionally all these meetings and support groups and classes were in person. But this is a new world,
right.
You know, everything is moving online. So we do other classes online, too, because it's just a way to make things easier for people to participate.
Right.
So yeah, we use technology, too, you know, for our website. We're putting out a lot of messages. As you said earlier, you know, it's Mental Health Awareness Month. So we post a new message every day just to think about all the different ways that mental health.
I was on your Facebook page, and I was almost overwhelmed by some of the things that not overwhelmed, but, you know, they'll have statistics on there.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about mental illness and how there's sort of an, it seems to hit people in puberty at sometimes, like there just seems to be a lot
of it.
And
does.
Then,
yeah.
Then by your 20s, there's a large portion of it. Do we know answers? What's happening to those people during that time when that's going on?
There's two points in your life where you have explosive brain growth. One is like when you're about one or two, you know, your brain's growing really fast and things can go wrong. And sometimes you'll see a lot of times that's when autism will first manifest as one or two. I have two children that are on the spectrum. So I've been in the autism community for a long time. But the other time is when in your late adolescence. And it's interesting during, you know, what's happening, too, is the prefrontal cortex of your brain, which is it handles a lot of the risk assessment. This part right here behind the forehead that grows like between like 16 and 25. It's like 21 for women and it's 25. Women mature faster than men, you know. But during that, because it's growing so fast, things can go wrong. And one of the things that happens a lot is during that time is schizophrenia will manifest. So it's because the brain is changing. You have all these hormones. You know, think about your average teenager. They're complex because their bodies are changing so quickly. Well, that can affect the brain is a lot of chemicals and, you know, creates a lot of those chemicals that function monitor other functions. So that, you know, yeah, that seems to be a really big time, like 16 to 23. But ask any teacher now, they're seeing behavioral issues manifest much, much earlier than that. That I don't know why that's happening, but you know, there are behavioral health issues in the schools that never were like this when I was a kid, you know, before electricity.
Sure. Right. We are speaking this morning, Executive Director Greg Klima with the NAMI Lorain County National Alliance on Mental Illness. You have something coming up. We were talking about social media and people commenting, and then as well as technology. Let's talk about this new effective treatment for depression, where you want to get sort of a informal meeting or informative meeting. Sorry.
Informative, yeah.
To find out about this relating to a new ketamine-based medication. Explain this to us and where the controversy may lie, too.
Well, the controversy is in the word you just said. It's ketamine-based. So ketamine is started life as a horse tranquilizer, large animal tranquilizer. And it percolated onto the streets and became a street drug. And but they have found some uses for it. On the West Coast, they have been using ketamine and ketamine derivatives to address chronic depression. And this is an FDA drug, FDA-approved drug, Spravato, it's called. And it is now rolling out nationwide. So it's been, you know, it's been approved. But people hear ketamine and they think, oh, this is just another way to get people addicted. And that isn't the case. It's people think somehow that, like, people are going in for this medicine and getting a jar of ketamine pills. That's not what happens. It is administered clinically. People are observed. You know, it's all monitored, and they're making sure that there's no side effects. So it's rolling out, and I have seen organizations, you know, in other counties who have said, hey, we have this available, and the comments are just unbelievable. And a lot of them are just, it's misinformation. Where they aren't handing out ketamine. This isn't pure ketamine. This is an FDA-reviewed and approved medication. So all we wanted to do, Lorain Hospital, is the first one in Lorain County to offer this treatment. They're a organization we do a lot of work with, their behavioral health wing in particular. And when I heard about that, I said, we got to let people know what it is, because I knew there would be this backlash of, like, what are you bringing into our county? And it's closely monitored. People aren't walking out the door with ketamine. Mm-hmm. So I was working with the director of behavioral health there, and she told me about it. And I said, let's have a session, and let's have people come in with their questions and concerns, explain to them what the protocol is, explain to them what the medication is, how it's being used, how people are being protected. Let them ask their questions and get some information. But I will tell you this, they already have a waiting list. So, you know, because
of people that have the chronic depression that
who
are
want
looking
this medication.
Okay.
Because there's so many people living with really chronic depression. I mean, almost intractable depression. And when your life is like that, when you find it difficult to get out of bed, to take a shower, to get dressed, and that goes on for a long time, you will try pretty much anything to try to get out of that. And so people are saying, I want to try this, especially because we've been hearing about this for so long. You know, here in the Midwest, we're hearing these echoes of things happening in the West, you know, and now here it is. Okay, what are we going to do about it? Well, our job is to help inform people what it really is, not what they think it is, but what it really is.
Right. And again, this is coming up Wednesday, May 29th.
At the Amy Levin Learning and Conference Center.
That'll be on Northridge Road in Lorain to find out about that. Again, the new effective treatment for depression. You talked about getting information out there. Part of what you do, I also think, is just trying to beat the stigma, as that phrase sometimes goes.
What a great series that is. I mean, I just think that the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Service has done a great job with
now,
that
Now, I say
series.
Sometimes people get annoyed by them, and some you wonder, but it does that job of sort of explaining what people think, mm-hmm. Even though sometimes it's obviously tongue-in-cheek a lot of times, whatever, but it understands that what biases people have or what they think about mental illness or other addiction things, it just opens their eyes to another viewpoint on that, too.
They're not making things up. You know, all the things that those people say that are wrong are things we hear all the time. Oh, just snap out of it, you know. You can't. You would never tell somebody with diabetes, oh, just snap out of it. This is, this is the same thing. This is a misfunctioning of an organ of the body. And you just can't snap out of it. It's not just a cry for help. So all of those things that are on that series of commercials, they're all correct. I mean, they're all things that people in mental health recovery encounter all the time. So I think they do it kind of funny in the game show format. I mean, you know, I think it
draws your attention.
I think it's appropriate. It draws your attention
to that sort of thing like that. But that is something that you have to, as the executive director, you kind of have to always be aware of that's out there and how best to address it. I suppose maybe sometimes terminology also is an important type of thing. I know sometimes people say, well, you just change words on it. It doesn't mean to change it. But sometimes you talk about being the person who's addicted as opposed to somebody who's an addict, or that type of a phrasing of it does have a change in perception for people, I think, sometimes.
Usage changes all the time. I understand that sometimes people bristle when you say, hey, we prefer to use it this way. You know, I don't just, you know, I... For instance, in the substance use world, the term's clean. You know, I've been clean for so long. Well, that implies something, right?
Right.
That if I'm not clean, I must be
dirty. Right.
There you go.
Right.
And somebody who has a substance use disorder isn't dirty. There's a lot of functioning people out there, who are using alcohol, opiates, all types of things, who are functioning, aren't dirty, but are living with a specific condition. And so that's why we try to talk about it's a substance use disorder. It is a disease like any other disease. So, you know, we don't talk about people who have chronic heart decisions, conditions with these derogatory terms. Addict, what are you? You know, I don't even know what you would call somebody. Or right. Somebody with diabetes. We don't use derogatory terms for them. But with this, because people think it's a choice, there's a lot of judgment that goes along in it. So we do focus on verbiage. We don't use addict, you know, addiction. We use substance use disorder. We don't like to say somebody's bipolar. They live with bipolar disorder. They're a human being, and they have a disease. And they call that person's first language. It does matter because words bring up ideas, and some over time, certain words get connected to certain really toxic ideas.
Right.
You want to break that.
Right. And sometimes people feel, using the word, I'm thinking when they almost feel broken. In other words, if they are the disease, then they feel there's something wrong with them in that sense, mm-hmm. as a person, not as just my body is not functioning the way it should then for them.
Because, you know, even with cancer, you know, you can have advanced cancer and still have a lot of hope and achieve recovery. You know, my sister did. She had stage 3 cancer, and she's been cancer-free for some time. On the mental health side, we have to remember that recovery is possible for people. And if we just look at them as broken, you know, and beyond repair, you're depriving them of the hope they need to do the work they need to recover.
Right.
And I know people get upset about the verbiage thing, but the reality is it does matter, because if you just speak to people, like they're less than you, they're going to feel that way. And the more you beat somebody down, the less they lose that motivation to do the hard work of change. Just like somebody who with diabetes may have to change their diet. Think about how hard it is to change your diet. If you told somebody, "Oh no, you can't do this because you're broken," they would never change their diet. But we don't do that to people with diabetes. But it does happen a lot to people with mental illness.
You have ways of getting to reach people. If people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that sort of thing? And just to find out if they are somebody that, you know, needs your services, and the best way to do that.
Well, one way is to go to our website. And that is NAMI-LC.org. And, of course, people can call our office. And our number is 440-240-8477. And we can help connect people with services and resources and support, education, and advocacy, which is, again, our mission.
Yeah, and it's whether the individual or a family member or somebody else. And sometimes your mental health that you have, I don't want to say it's sort of temporary, but it may ebb and flow. There might be points, and you can still help people who are in those situations too, right?
This is a big thing that I really want to work on, excuse me, is that, you know, everybody feels depression at times. You're sad. You know, people get sad. Life sometimes is difficult. People pass, you lose jobs, relationships end, you know, and people feel depression or feel anxious because life can be overwhelming. Just because you're feeling that doesn't mean, a lot of people say, "I'll just do nothing and let it pass." But sometimes if you just reach out for help on a short-term basis, you can get past that. And they find that if you kind of don't address your depression and anxiety and trauma over time, you can actually develop more serious mental health conditions. So even just the day-to-day life, having somebody to talk to, whether that is a therapist or a faith leader, a dear friend, a trusted advisor, to go and just talk about it. And that's a big thing that we're trying to do. It's okay to talk about how you feel. It doesn't mean that you're permanently broken. And the faster you acknowledge your depression, anxiety, you know, that you're not feeling right, and talk it out with somebody and get some help, the faster you can get over it. It's okay to feel a little off,
right,
to talk about it.
I would say, well, you're almost trying to get back in control of things.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel out of control, and that's where you need somebody to guide you a little bit,
well,
too.
Think about if you're having financial issues. You might go talk to an advisor or a banker. You don't see them for the rest of your life. They go, they give you some advice, you know, and you fix it. You have some legal questions. It's not like you're moving in with your lawyer, you know. You go, you get help, you say thank you, and move on.
Right.
You can do the same thing with mental health issues. It's just get somebody to help you get through this.
That's Executive Director Greg Klima from NAMI Lorain County, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. You can find out more by going to NAMI-LC.org or just Google NAMI Lorain County. If you missed any of today's program, you can go to WEOL.com, check the on-air tab, and look for North Coast Conversation. You can find this and other previous shows. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke, and this has been North Coast Conversation on AM 930 WEOL.